Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Redmen TV. It's time for the build-up show ahead of the Merseyside Derby. Steve Hoare here, joined by John Machen and Jamie Cranford to talk about the Reds against the Blues. Gents, thanks for joining us on this sunny, sunny afternoon here in Liverpool. Jay, I'll come to you first then. We've just disposed of one of our two historical biggest rivals in the league with in comprehensive manner. I mean, it's time to do it again, isn't it, really, this weekend? Like, you go... In years gone by, if you had Man United and Everton in the same week, it would be the talk of the town. And yeah, because of what's just come before, it were Champions League games, then with the City doubleheader, and then there's a Champions League semi-final on the horizon. These two have almost kind of been squeezed in the middle, but
yeah,
it is another huge game, and it's a huge game this time for both clubs, not only in terms of just the bragging rights, but because of what's on the line for both of them as well.
Yeah, it is. All of the games, really. I know the Everton game is a special game, but we just can't afford to drop points at any stage now. City ended up getting it done yesterday. So it is a massive game. Everton, I mean, in terms of, they're obviously fighting for their lives, but after the good result against Man U, you'd think, you know, all right, this is their time to press on now, but they looked like it was a bit shaky yesterday. So every reason for the Reds to be confident going into this one.
John, as I say, we've sat here in the studio many times talking about the biggest games of the season, and sometimes it's come to a point where Liverpool v Everton, and both teams aren't really competing for anything. You know, like, I remember Gerrard scored in a hat trick that year, and it was great, but it wasn't a meaningful league game in terms of stakes. The stakes are raised on this one even more because, like I say, we're in a title race. There's a very good chance that Manchester City have beaten Watford before we even play Everton. There's a chance that Everton could be in the bottom three by the time this game kicks off because Burnley played twice before them. It just feels like this game doesn't always need to add a fuel to the fire, but the perilous position of them and the glorious position of us, it feels like the stakes are even bigger, which for a Merseyside derby is quite impressive.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I'm personally sort of not buying into this being a derby game. It doesn't feel like a derby game to me. I don't feel that they're anywhere close to us. Therefore, it's not a competition like the normal derbies. You go in not knowing how it's going to come out. You go in thinking this is just going to be blood and thunder and it's not going to be pretty. You know, I don't get that feeling about this. It's a big game, as you say, for us, because we desperately need the 3 points. It's a massive game for them because they desperately need the 3 points. So it should be a great game of football, but it's like it could be anyone. It somehow doesn't feel like a derby game to me.
I suppose because we've just come off the back of the Man City games and they're exhausted.
Everything we've done in the last couple of weeks has just been big game, big game, big game. This almost feels like a chance to have a breather. You know, and to be honest, Klopp in recent years has not treated them with a great deal of respect in terms of the teams he puts out. You know?
Yeah, we'll speak about that later in terms of what Jürgen's going to do, because again, what we've just been through and what's on the horizon. Before we do that, let's have a little chat then about Everton, because... First of all, it's really, really funny. Having said that, I just had Baz from Toffee TV in the studio earlier on the opposition preview. That's right out now on Redmen Plus in podcast and video. If you want to get that, and I'll be honest, Baz wasn't too optimistic. Spoiler alert. But I did have to remind them the last time they played at Anfield, they won. It's the only time they've done it since 1999. Now, obviously, a lot of extenuating circumstances, mainly the fact that we had no support in the stadium and Liverpool had the injuries. But the fact is, in the books, Everton won the last Premier League game between these two sides at Everton. In the last two games between these two sides at Anfield. Yet, less than a year later, the fortunes of the sides could not be more polar opposite. Everton were, Liverpool, you know, they were playing Henderson and Kabak, I think, at centre half that day. Everton had Carlo Ancelotti and James Rodriguez, and they looked like they were building towards something. Things have changed around a lot. Having said that, like, we do owe them one. And like, again, I still think that matters because they did beat us again. All the circumstances are like, we were very, very proud of that run. That, you know, Kevin Campbell getting rocked out of his chair every few often. Oh, last time they beat us, that's gone now. I feel like it's time we do owe them a little one for that. We got revenge, obviously, early in the season when we absolutely wiped the floor with them.
Yeah.
But in terms of our stadium, I do feel like we owe them a bit of a slapping, really.
Yeah, I'm hoping that Jürgen and the lads will look at it, almost take the passion out of it and go, well, going into the game the other day, even just when they put the teams up before kickoff and you go, they're a Europa League side. But look how much stronger our first 11 is than the team that they had to put out. Same with this game. You just look at the two teams going into it and I'm hoping that they're going to try and take... If you just look at it dispassionate, you say, we are by far the better side. We should beat them comfortably. And we were going on... We had our worst run for however many years last season. Like you say, we had the defensive issues with however many different defensive partnerships. None of that's happened this season. And they played worse than... any time I can remember. I'm going back to when I was in primary school when they were in this position. We do owe them one and I'm pretty confident that we should beat them by a few goals.
You like to think so. John, you've seen it when Liverpool and Everton were the best two teams in the country and you've seen fierce derbies. We all have. I remember even in the 90s when they often beat us. They often sometimes finished above us. They did that even in the 2000s. There was a couple of times, not that long ago, where they were above us. It is strange to see where they've gone now. Like, say, Ancelotti and Silva and Benitez and Lampard and all, you know, Allardyce as well. Like, they've certainly ran through with it. Jürgen's played about seven different managers, I think, since he's arrived here at Anfield, where he's not the longest serving manager in the league as Jürgen, but he's Everton have cycled through.
It's not been a well-run club, has it? Let's face it. It's just...
I mean, you're being kind.
Yeah. It's been a disaster, and a great light for them was beating us last year. And that was, in many respects, that was the lowest we could possibly get. You know, getting beat by Everton on that run of six home defeats on the run. You know, you couldn't get more despair than we felt at that moment. And the fans will, you know, hopefully remember that, and they'll be up for it tomorrow. Again, I think Klopp will be dispassionate about it. I just think he sees this as a team we can put to the sword, you know, and move on. You know, maybe even catch our breath a little before Villarreal. I mean, you look at Everton, the state they've been in, you know, and Calvert-Lewin's hardly played all season.
And
when he's played, he's not fit. You know, they had Rafa who brought players in to play with Calvert-Lewin and he was never there. And, you know, they've just had a disastrous season all around. I mean, last night, by all accounts, I didn't watch it, but Everton conceded 39 shots at home to Leicester. And that's astonishing. In the Premier League, that someone could have that many shots against you and only score one is what, you know. And I'm thinking to myself, God, if we have 39 shots, how many are we going to score?
7-0 or something. Yeah. You're back on them, Jay. So John just mentioned Calvert-Lewin's out again. Front Lampard said he might be back for Chelsea, and even that to push long. They've lost Townsend recently. Yeah. They're actually coming out the other side of their injury crisis because they've got Mina back, the core is back. They lost pretty much the span of their team for a while, and I think Rafa felt hard done by when he was sacked because he was like, you know, I haven't had all my players. Now the back, Lampard might be getting the fruits of it. But the flip side is they're still pretty crap. They beat Man United, but again, that was like, you know, that isn't the biggest achievement in the world. And only beating Man United 1-0 might actually be a failure these times. But they come into this desperate. And again, we're recording this before Burnley play Southampton, so who knows? If Burnley get a win there, it's even more desperation for them. It just feels like they are what they are. They're a Frankenstein squad of seven different managers, players, and they don't know what they are. Benitez was allowed to sell a lad, and he got signed a lad, and he got sacked a week later. Yeah. They are a shambles. This, to me, it felt like before we played Man United, it was a chance to not only win the game and put a mark on that, but also just to show the opposition, like, you are a shambles, and we're going to make a show of you. And there's a very good chance Liverpool can do that. They did it at Goodison, and they could do it again. Like, yeah, not only are you, we know you're a mess and we're a boss, but like, we're actually going to show you. And it feels like that's very much on the cards.
Depends. I mean, I know we're going to go on to talk about who we think is going to start, but you'd think that any combination of our best 20 odd players should be able to do that. You know, like the other day, I went into it thinking we're better than these. We're going to give, you know, we're going to beat these. And 5 minutes in, we're 1-0 up, and you think, right, well, that's pretty much game over. So same again would be lovely. Same again would be lovely this weekend. Yeah, sorry, go on.
I was going to say, John, on that, like I say, with the what's ahead and stuff, and we'll talk, after the break, we'll talk about more what we think Jürgen might do and how he goes about it. You said before, Jürgen's very good at taking the emotion out of Derby, and I tend to agree. Sometimes it's team selections. We've all raised eyebrows when we've seen a front three of Shaq, Lallana and Origi, and before we know it, we're battering them all over Anfield and stuff. But the flip side is, I actually think, in a way, the fact that it is a Derby helps the other way around, because it could have been flat. And I said, you know, if we'd have gone from Champions League quarter final, City, Champions League quarter final, got an FA Cup semi final, and then Man United, if it was just, I don't know, say we roles were reversed and we were playing Southampton, or we were playing, I don't know, but Brentford or Leeds, or so, it wouldn't feel. But the fact that it is Everton, it almost gives everyone a
bit of a boost. Fans are not going to underplay it.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying. Anfield will be alive.
They're going to be full of emotion. Yeah. It's just that Klopp's going to be a bit more dispassionate. And he'll play the best team that he thinks can win it, that gives him the best hope of having a better team playing probably against Villarreal. I mean, Everton are in a bit of a bind, really, aren't they? Because the best thing in their life at the moment is the fact that they've got 4 more points than Burnley. You know,
I spoke to Baz before, and he was saying we're sitting watching Man City's games, hoping their opposition lose. They're watching Burnley's opposition, and what a depressing thing that is, having to, you know, the fact that Burnley are your biggest rivals. Yeah. I mean,
and teams down there don't tend to win those games in hand, so that's their cushion. But if Burnley do win, as you say, against
and then they play Wolves,
then, you know, Everton are going to go into the game against us thinking, oh my God, we're in serious trouble.
We've got a message here from one of our club legends. So, yeah, by the way, if you join Redmen Plus as a club legend, one of the perks you do get is access to the Discord chat. And Tony Max says here, just the fact that Lampard is their manager, had a bit more needle, he thinks it does. We'd love to see him get wound up, and these group of players will want to put right that defeat at Anfield. I think there's more in this fixture for Klopp than he lets on. Like, there wasn't no blood love lost, was there, Jay, between Lampard and Jürgen, especially, and Pep Enders as well, when he's shouting at them a few years ago. Like,
yeah.
We don't particularly like Frank Lampard either. I actually quite respect him, what he is, but for who he is and what he represents and where he's come from. Like, he is more, you know, it isn't the Rafa Loving. We're not going to be singing Frank Lampard songs at any point, unless, well, they might be, but they might not be very kind to Frank at any point in there. But does that add a little bit more needle to it? Does that even just poke the fire a little tiny bit more?
I think, again, for the fans, yeah. And, you know, it'd be one of them where, if we are a couple of goals up and it cuts to Frank looking glum on the touchline, the shout, you know, the cheers will go up. There was a classic one of them cutting to Fergie in the stands, bless him, the other day.
Chris has got t-shirt ideas ready as he stands, yeah.
And yeah, after that, what was he, did he call Jürgen Billy Big Bollocks or something like that?
You've won one league title and you're acting like the Big Bollocks.
Yeah,
I think it was Pep Linders. He had a real go at Pep, didn't he? Yeah.
So there was that the other year, but there's that funny clip, isn't there, of he finishes that rant and then we score immediately afterwards or something like that.
Yeah. So I think the cop are going to give him a bad time.
Yeah.
But I don't think Jürgen matters.
Jürgen said they've got no enemies in football, but I wonder if Pep Linders has. maybe that's where we go. Right,
probably
then.
Killed them all.
Maybe so, yeah. Yeah, he could beat every single one of them. Right then. We're going to take a quick break shortly, but before we do that, just their result last night, John, they get that point, like you say. If they'd have lost that game, then they're only 3 points behind Burnley, and then Burnley, it gives them a little tiny, tiny bit of a cushion. It also just like the move. You know, I mean, if you draw 1-1 at home to Leicester, usually it's like, oh, it is what it is. But the fact that it's a 93rd minute winner as well, 93rd minute equaliser, it almost feels like a winner. Yeah, they might have bounced out of Goodison feeling a little bit better about themselves.
I'm sure that's true. And I'm glad we're not playing them at Goodison.
Yeah.
Because the fans would be up for it. But there's not going to be many fans in Anfield for the Blues. And I think that's lessened a lot by the fact that they'll just be swamped by us. So, you know, I mean, it's really difficult, isn't it? Are they going to be fighting for their lives, or are they in despair and not be able to kick a ball properly? You know, it can go either way, can't it? You know, Particularly if we put them under pressure like we did United. If they can't get out of their, you know, their penalty area practically, then, you know, things start to go on in your head, don't they, you know?
Saving your legs for the next one where you might be able to guess when you're in a relegation battle. I think
and then they look up and think, oh my God, it's Chelsea. Oh, we wait for the next one. Oh my God, that's Leicester.
All the best to Everton. All the best. Right, then we are going to take a quick break on the other side. We are going to talk about Liverpool, what Jürgen might do in terms of team news, rest, rotation, Villarreal, and all that kind of stuff. But before we do that, let's go to a trivia question to tie it over during the break. Divock Origi, remember him? Divock Origi scored more goals against Everton than he has against any other opposition team. But how many goals has Divock scored against the Blues? So yeah, Divock Origi scored more goals against Everton than he has any other opposition team. How many goals has he scored against the Blues? We'll be back after this advert break with the answer to that and a whole lot more. See you in a minute. Hey guys, Steve here. Hope you're enjoying this podcast. If you want even more Red Men TV goodness in your lives, head on over to theredmentv.com and sign up to Red Men Plus. Each and every one of our shows is not only available in video format, but in podcast as well, so you can get them on the go. Do go on over to the website, do join Red Men Plus, and yeah, carry on enjoying this show too.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yeah, there you go. Welcome back. Do get involved with Ultimate Fan. They're going to compete against Paul and the guys, obviously, in the league. The code was there as well. The link's in the description. So, yeah, get yourselves involved as we head towards the end of the season. There's prize pots to be won. Yeah, and also, you can make a show of Paul Machen. Get above him in that leaderboard. And you'll have to read your name out when you're above him. And he doesn't like doing that. So, yeah, go ahead and do that. Right then, before the break, I asked how many times Divock Origi scored against Everton. You both got a guess?
Six. I'm going seven.
You're both too high. The answer was five. And the first person to get it, who I can see in... Yeah, you both did. It was Oisin Dock, who got five. So I'll bring them up on the screen for you now. First of all, there's the list of teams Divock has scored against. There you go, five. The next big best are Wolves with three, Southampton with three, and West Ham with three. I'll go through the goals, see if you remember these ones now. The 4-0, that was the one he scores the header, and then Funes Mori snaps him into seven bits.
Yeah.
He scores in the 3-1 when he just hits it down the middle of the goal. Yeah. From about 40 yards out, and the goal just misses it. Next is the most famous Divock Origi goal of all time. Yeah. The 1-0, obviously, Jordan Pickford. And then he scored twice in the 5-2.
Yeah.
One was the big long ball over the top, remember, from Degsy Lovren. He also scored there as well.
Brilliant goal.
He goes round the goalie once and he dinks it over him the other one. So, yeah, Divock has scored five times against Everton. Maybe he makes it six this weekend. On that point, John, you referenced earlier before, Jürgen's took the emotion out of the derby. He said that a couple of times, like he's made changes and stuff. Given what we've been through and that the fact he didn't, I thought he was going to make more changes against Manchester United than he did.
Yeah,
he didn't. He went very, very strong against Manchester United, and proof was in the pudding, it worked. If anyone's going to get a rest between now and the end of the season, it's probably this weekend, or it's Newcastle away next weekend. But that, again, whether you want to rest lads when you're away from home, we don't know. Is Everton at home in the time where you might see, I've got written down here, someone like a Gomez at right back or a Costas at left back, Divock Origi might get in up front. Is this the game where Jürgen goes six, seven, eight changes?
Yeah, I mean, given how few games are left, does he just say, I'm playing my strongest side, go through and see where we get? Or does he, as you say, rest people and try and conserve some energy? I mean, United was Tuesday, wasn't it? And Everton Sunday, that's a long time.
It's more the Sunday, Wednesday.
That's a long time for recovery. So
yes, he'll be fine.
You know, why would he change a lot of players for United? I think he can play anyone against Everton, but I do think he will. He's never ever played his full strength side against Everton.
Very rarely.
You know, he always brings in Curtis Jones, you know, which wouldn't surprise me if he got a run out as well, you know. And he's inevitably going to rotate his front three, I think, you know, just to make, you know, I'm not sure Bobby's going to be fit, is he? But
yeah, we're not sure.
You know, certainly Jota's going to start, I would have thought. I thought that would be nailed on, given that he didn't start, you know, against United. And then, you know, he might play Diaz, he might play Mane on the left. He's got options there and he'll use them. I think he'll also rotate his midfield, you know.
I'm going to bring up, if you don't mind, the team, the method that I think last time, having gotten beat by them and where it was in the league, and it's the first time really where he'd gone, you know what, I'm going to go balls out against Everton. So he goes, obviously Alisson, he went Robbo, Van Dijk, Matip, Trent, Fab, Thiago, Hendo, Mane, Salah, Jota, which at the time was as pretty much as he wanted to. But that game again was different circumstances. More often than not, he has made a lot of changes. On that, Jay, it's like, first of all, whoever you bring in is better than it used to be. I think that's the point. Yeah. You know what I mean? The squad's better now. So if you are bringing in a Konate or a Shimakas, Joe Gomez maybe at right back, or you bring Naby Keita back in, who had a really good game last time he played.
Yeah.
You're bringing Jota in instead of one of the front three. We don't know Bobby. Divock even, you know, he loves a goal against Everton. Yeah. Maybe he plays on that as well. I agree with John, Tuesday to Sunday's fine. Everyone other than Bobby Firmino, our time recording, worth mentioning that, is fit and available. Bobby's still the doubt. It's how hard he thinks Villarreal at home is going to be. But the flip side of that is, it's at home. If it was Villarreal away and you've got to take in travel and stuff as well.
He'll want to play his best side against Villarreal, won't he?
Can he get away with doing it Everton and Villarreal?
Yeah, I don't think so. You know, well, I don't think he'll want to.
Do you think it's the first one I'm going to talk about, Jay, let's bring these up, it's the fullbacks then? Because last time he rested them both at the same time. There was a school of thought that, and I was part of this, and I know Paul did the last build-up to United, where you play either Robbo or Trent for United, and you play the other one against Everton, and it's Costas plays one game and Gomez plays one game. Is there a chance where Liverpool line up a fullback on Sunday with Gomez and Costas? Because I feel like there possibly is.
Yeah, there could be, but that, I was just thinking, is there a possibility Gomez centre half? You know, it could bring Konate.
Change both of them out.
Konate tends to have played most of the European games. I could see Tsimikas playing, but then I don't know. You don't want to be getting into the realms of three of the four back four. But then I was having this conversation before Benfica the other day. I thought he'd make changes in the second half, but he made his changes from the start and brought the other lads on. So I could see him making six or seven changes. Whether I would, but then I'm not a professional football manager, so I don't know what.
When I argued for Benfica game, that there are certain changes you can make which don't make any difference to the team.
Yeah.
You bring Tsimikas in, you'll hardly notice the difference.
Yeah.
You know, he's quality enough that, you know, it's an easy win, if you like, just bringing him in and give Robbo a rest. Similarly, Konate coming in for Matip, that's no big deal, is it? You know, it was a big shout bringing in Gomez for right back and leaving Van Dijk out in a totally different back four.
Yeah,
you know, that takes a lot of courage to do that against anyone. But of course, we did have the two goal cushion against Everton. Maybe not.
I suppose as well, John. If Everton are going to come and do maybe if they are going to come and be difficult to play against the Parker bus and stuff, you bet you need to trench them.
Trent, so that's
the game where you want to have Trent Alexander-Arnold in your team.
You also need Thiago, to be honest. I'd still like to see him rested.
I know. But then again, I suppose the former Naby Keita, let's move on to him then. Jay, he didn't play the other day, obviously. Did he come on late? He did come on, didn't he? But is it a point where now we're going to see Thiago? Because they both played City and both of them were absolutely amazing, by the way.
Yeah.
But is it a case now where, again, if he does leave Thiago out on... You can always put Naby in and get... Not, they won't be the same, obviously, because they're different players, but that if you're looking about that creative spark from the field, if you do think Everton are going to be a bit dogged and stuff, Naby might be the man to provide that in this game. I've got a feeling, and I'll be doing the starting 11 prediction show later, I think Naby's one of the first names on the team, so I think he has to play, really.
Yeah, I think that's true.
Would you go along with that?
Yeah, I could see him definitely coming in. Thiago's been so good at the moment. You feel like any team that isn't a, you know, a really good side, you want to wrap them in cotton wool kind of thing. So yeah, I could definitely see Naby coming in. There's all kinds, really. I mean, when you think back to the first four games of the season, Elliot was the starter, you know, and he's kind of not even in our thoughts. And, you know, Jones has played well at times. He's had some poor games. Milner, you know,
starters with
one last rodeo for Milner, get a few tackles in. Like, I couldn't predict it, honestly.
No.
The only other one I want to talk about, John, you referenced Jota earlier. And again, my feel on this, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, is that he's going to start. It's just where he starts. Yeah. Does he rest Diaz and save him for Villarreal? Does he want to rest Mane, or does he want to play Mane on the left? Does he? Yeah. Mo Salah's going to play. He never rests Mo Salah, no. So we can just nail Mo Salah on. But
yeah.
My sense is I'd have Jota in the middle, because this could be a game where you just need someone in and around the box to do something, put a ball in the back of the net. But if he does play, he's got because of his flexibility and the flexibility of others. Jürgen's still got tons of options there, but. You referenced before, you think Jota's going to play as well.
Absolutely certain he'll play, because, you know, he didn't get a full game the other day. So why not play him? Why have five good forwards and stick with three? You know, I do feel that the Diaz, Mane, Salah is probably nailed on for Villarreal.
Yeah.
You know, and in that case, then, do you keep playing Mane, who's in great form finally this season? Or do you give him a rest and make sure you've got him for? I mean, they're all really difficult decisions. And Diaz, I mean, what we probably tend to forget is how much football he's played, because most of it was played for someone else, you know. And so maybe we have to be careful about how much football he plays.
Yeah,
it's difficult to know. I mean, obviously we haven't got sports scientists to help us out, you know. And
but you are right in saying what you know. The 5 day gaps is very significant to you, Jay. You know what I mean, like. City are playing Wednesday, Saturday. We've got Tuesday, Sunday.
Yeah,
it is a thing for Liverpool that he can go. You know, if Jürgen decided to go, well, we played the cup final, cup semi final Saturday, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So we go Saturday, Tuesday, Sunday, Wednesday. There's enough recovery time, and there he might just go. You know what? Ride the crest of this wave.
Yeah.
And then after Wednesday. Depending on how we've got on, we could end the tie against Villarreal. There's a possibility Liverpool win 5-0. Yeah, well, you do what he did to Roma.
I think that's what they need to do.
And in which case, then you can go strong against Newcastle and make your changes, madly saying so, in the second leg of Champions League semi-final. But that's where we're at now, is that the gaps, I think the gap's significant enough between United and Everton and then to Villarreal, where he could just go, you know what, we go again and the same 9-10 lads that could play again.
Yeah, it's definitely possible. I'm wondering if... I'm wondering if Divock's going to get his last opportunity to shine against the Blues as well. I'd love it as well. Because it's just that the fact that he hasn't played for a while, that's making me think that maybe... But then...
He's come on.
He's thrown Solanke in a previous start. Like, you just don't know what he's... Yeah, Solanke and Shaqiri and the likes of them.
No. Yeah. Paul made a good point. I'm praising you, Sonny. Don't feel free to knock him down if you want, like, by the way. But he said, you know, Jürgen likes to remind Everton the crap.
Yeah.
By picking teams against them to get in their own heads. Like, not only do we think you're crap and we're going to bat you, we're going to do it with our reserves. Oh, we've done that. Okay, then. Well, we're going to do it with the kids and we're still going to beat you. Yeah. It's almost like Jürgen's playing psychological battles with Everton where you turn up and like, Dom Solanke's on his own up front. Or like, why is Shaqiri? I haven't seen him for months. Or, you know, like, Curtis Jones, what's that come from? It does feel like sometimes he does like to do that.
They train all week to play our first 11 and then end up playing a totally different team.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean... Personally, I would love us to play our strongest possible team.
And just wipe the floor with them. Yeah. That's what I feel like as well.
You know, but somehow I think, you know, if you're a manager of a club, you've got more, you know, to think about than just battering Everton, haven't you? You know?
Well, and that's the point. And there's a few people here. Mike says this, and Courtney as well. You know, you don't want to underestimate Villarreal. The fact that they are where they are. You know, you're playing a team from Spain who are where they are in the league.
You don't get that result at Bayern if you're hopeless.
But they've beaten Juventus and Bayern Munich on the way, so they're not this. And they're going to come and they're going to be tight and resolute. I know Unai Emery's a master at this, and this isn't the Villarreal show, but like I say, it's what Jürgen thinks he needs for Wednesday. Because whatever
there's 18 lads, 19 lads who he can pick from, and whatever 11 he picks are better than Everton's. It's just what he thinks he has to have left in the tank for the Villarreal, whilst also ensuring, Jay, that he gets through Everton. It is a fine balancing act. Like, this is why Jürgen's the best manager in the world, and why he gets to pay the big bucks, because there's big decisions to be made here. And listen, you're going to have to go up to someone, a Mane or a Henderson or a Matip or a Van Dijk or Thiago, and say, you're not playing the Merseyside derby. Listen, Jürgen's got the balls to do that. It's not an issue to him. Andy Robbo, the same. Trent.
Yeah.
The only downside to being in every single football match you can play and winning all the trophies, Jay, is that sometimes you might have to miss out on one or two. I'm guessing the players will kind of understand that as well.
Yeah, that was the other thing I was thinking of. I thought of Robertson specifically. Like, can you imagine how fit he is, you know, going up to him going, we're going to give you a rest for this one. He'd say, no chance. You can run all day.
Mo Salah would just walk on the pitch himself. Yeah. I'm playing, lads.
That's the other thing. They don't tend to leave Mo out, do they? Like, especially after his two goals the other day. I can't see him not starting.
I do tend to agree. Right then, guys, what we're going to do on the other side, we're going to go through what your 11s would be or what you think Jürgen's going to do. So we'll do that very, very shortly. Before that, guys, I'm going to give you another little ad break. So first up, it's Redmen Sessions, which is streaming now on Redmen Plus, followed immediately by some details about our upcoming live show that we'd love you to attend. So yeah, have a little think. You can get your thoughts in the comments section or on the Club Legend Discord. What would your 11s be for this game? We'll read some of those out and get the thoughts of John and Jamie right after this. So there you have it. First up there was Redmen Sessions with the Ragamuffins. We brought the lads into the studio. They had a good old sing-song and an interview as well. That is streaming live now on Redmen Plus, both in podcast and video format. If you head on over to redmenplus.com and sign up today, you'll get access to that show as well as everything else we do. There's so much content on there and there's so much coming as well. We've got a feature coming out later this week about Liverpool's goalkeepers featuring John Achterberg, and obviously the mural that was painted at the AXA. We were invited down to the AXA to get close up personal with that. We had a fun day. That'll be released there on Friday. And like I say, all of the content in terms of the games I referenced before, the Oppo preview with Baz, that's on there. The instant match reaction after the game with me and Errol will be on there as well, as will the final word the day after. Tons and tons there. And like I say, after that, you saw our live show. Jay and John will be there. I'll be there. Come get yourselves involved as well. The link was on the video, but if you couldn't quite see it, it's in the description of the show. I think if Joe's going to do that for me. If he hasn't, he's hastily doing it right now, and also on our socials as well. But if you head over to Skiddle and just search on Skiddle for the Ragamuffins and Redmen TV, you'll be able to find one of those. So come and join us 21st of May. Fingers crossed, it'll be the day before Liverpool potentially win a Premier League title. Who knows? Who knows where we are by then? But yeah, come and have a good old party and a sing-song. It'll be great to have you. Right then, lads, before the break, I asked about 11s and what you think you're going to do, what you would do. Give you a couple more seconds to have a little think. Dermot was in the chat. He went for Alisson, Trent, Gomez and Konate. Like you said, he's resting both the centre-backs with Tsimikas. He's gone from Milner, Keita, Jones with Salah, Jota and Bobby. So he's got half an eye on the Villarreal game there. And then TP went for Ali, Trent, Konate, Van Dijk and Tsimikas. Hendo, Fab and Naby. He's resting Jota, like you're happy you're looking to do there, John. And he's then gone for Mane, Jota, Salah up front. I start with you, John, then. You've told me Thiago's out of your team and you've told me Jota's in.
Yeah.
What are you doing at fullback?
Alisson, Trent, Matip, Van Dijk, Robbo.
You're going big balls out here, John. Midfield?
Midfield, Henderson, Keita and Jones.
Okay.
Up front, Mo Salah, Jota, and Mane.
Mane going back to the left. Go on, Jay, what are you thinking?
I mean, my personal team, Divock's playing.
Yeah, he's in Man.
Gomez is playing, but I've not put either of them in. I've gone for Jürgen's selection. Trent, Matip, Virgil, Tsimikas coming in. Fabinho, Naby, Hendo, and then Mane, Jota, and Mo up front.
Cool.
So I'm resting Diaz and I'm resting Thiago.
100% Divock's playing in my team. If I'm managing now, Divock's in. And he's the first name on the team sheet. It's Alisson, and then it's Divock up front, just for the swan song. And he'll score, because Everton are crap and he loves scoring against Everton. I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think. He might. It depends on Firmino's fitness. If he wants to rest two of them, and Bobby isn't available at time recording, we don't know. Jürgen said it was touch and go. But if it's touch and go, why even risk it? Then I'm definitely thinking, I'd take Mane and Diaz out.
You could see maybe Jota on the left, Divock and Mo.
Yeah, that's exactly my team. That's my team. I am going Ali. This isn't the predictor 11. It's what I would do, by the way. Alisson plays, Tsimikas plays for me with Van Dijk and Konate. Trent has to play because they're going to sit back and I want Trent in the team. I think you still need Fabinho against Everton, because if they are going to do anything on the counter, he's the man to stop. And that's the only way they're going to get past us at all. I am going Keita and Henderson. I'm leaving Thiago, so I'm resting him. And then up front, like I say, Diaz is out. Sadio is having a little break as well. And we're playing, Big Dave's playing up front, with Mo Salah and Jota. Right then, guys, what we're going to do now is have a little look, if you give me a second to do that, the Premier League fixtures this weekend, because like I say, too much is happening around the world for us to not only concentrate, unfortunately, on Liverpool. So I'll bring those up on the screen now. In terms of a race for the top four, we've got Arsenal. I've got Arsenal versus Man United is the early kickoff on Saturday. Good win for Arsenal the other day against Chelsea. Not so great of an evening for Manchester United, as we know. It feels like that one, John. If Arsenal win, that's it, Man United. That's the top four gone. If Man United's top four race might be gone. It then becomes Arsenal v Tottenham, I think, for the race for the top four. And as things look right this second, it looks like Arsenal prime position to win that one as well, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, United, they might get a little boost because Ten Hag has been announced, hasn't he, today? Yeah. So they might get a little boost from that, but it's still a bit of a stretch to think they can be better than they were the other night. You know, even
it can't be worse, that's the thing.
I mean, Arsenal are a really difficult side to beat if you're not informed, because they play such quick, fast football.
It's weird because I didn't see that Chelsea result coming. He'd lost three on the spin.
No.
And then he went in. And I always read.
I watched it and I thought they were terrific.
They were really good. And I was the same. I was kind of half watching City a bit, but I was thinking, trying to keep away from that. So yeah. I had the game on, yeah. I tend to agree. Leicester Villa, yeah. City, Watford, then. Roy?
Can't see it. That's one of them where, like, maybe about 1% of your brain go, Roy has been drilling them all week, get them, you know.
He's nice got, to he's stout. He's got form, though, hasn't he? He's got form at City with his other...
With Palace. Palace are better. What for the shite?
You look on the final score, it'd be like 1-0, Sterling, 4 minutes, and you're like, right, okay, that's that then.
But yeah, if anything there, you've got to be careful with the goal difference, haven't you? With that one, you don't want to be getting too into the weeds with that one. Norwich v Newcastle, you've got Brentford v Tottenham again, top four implications there. Burnley v Wolves, we're referencing it. Where will Everton be at the time of kickoff? Well,
we want a strong Wolves, don't we? So we want them to batter Burnley, because they play City before too long.
Yeah, but then I wouldn't mind Everton being in the bottom three when we play them.
Mm-hmm. I could see that being a 0-0 or a low scoring game.
Let's hope Burnley beats Southampton, and then we can take it. You can have a draw against Wolves, a nice resolute 0-0 against Wolves. Yeah, we'll take that. Chelsea, the aforementioned Chelsea against West Ham. Brighton, Southampton, obviously the derby. And then we've got Palace against Leeds as well. Leeds certainly not out of that relegation battle just yet. They run a fixture, by the way. Baz spoke about this earlier. Leeds are very much not out of that one yet. But
well, the thing about the bottom is points count. And they've
got games in hand. Games in hand.
They've got like a seven or eight point cushion over Burnley. So
games in hand, fool's gold.
I think Leeds are safe. It's just Everton or Burnley. Simple as that.
Maybe so. We'll soon find out. Hopefully we're the ones who put a bit of a dent in the Everton survival. I can't believe they're even in this spot.
I can see Everton losing this next three games, and then they really are seriously in trouble.
I think we're going to battle them. Chelsea, I don't know, because especially at Goodison, Chelsea look a bit up and down at the moment. Yeah, something doesn't smell right at Chelsea. There's a whiff of every other Chelsea, the end of every other Chelsea season.
We're for a cup final, you know.
There is maybe, yeah, but then again, it's more a case of like, this tends to happen at Chelsea. There's always drama, and it's at some point something mad happens. We're like, oh, they're not picking the £90 million striker again, and he's kicking off. Yeah, Chelsea are a very, very weird one. Predictions? Go with you first, Jay.
3-0.
Yeah, nice easy stroll in the park.
Yeah, I was going to say that, but I'll say 4 just to be different.
I think we're going to beat them 5-1. But their 1 comes at 4-0. And it wakes us up for 5 minutes.
It's deflected off a player on the post.
Yeah, something like that. Something absolutely like that, yes. I'm going for a nice 5-1 to the Reds. Mentioned before about Jürgen and his press conference and all that kind of stuff as well, guys. He hasn't had a time recording, but if you keep an eye on our YouTube channel or if you go to your main podcast provider and just say to the Red Men TV and subscribe, that full press conference will be there, both again on the YouTube channel and as a podcast as well. So if you sign up, you'll get that. If you sign up on the, if you subscribe to the YouTube channel and press the little alert bell, you'll get a little notification when that video goes live as well. We'll find out more about the team there. But yeah, as it stands, it's only really Bobby Firmino who is a doubt. Guys, thanks very, very much for joining me. It's always nice to laugh at Everton for a start and also big up the mighty Reds. Thanks to all you guys for watching or listening to the show. Like I said, do not forget Red Men Plus for that Red Men Sessions with the Ragamuffins. Redmenplus.com, sign up today, you will not regret it. The content we're sharing out is absolutely brilliant and there's absolutely tons of it because Liverpool keep winning games, so there's more games and more games and more games. Please do come and join us. Keep an eye on the YouTube channel. Like I said, I'll be back with the starting 11 prediction show later, and then for the game itself, it'll be me again with Errol in the studio. Please do join us for that one. Up the Reds. Ta-da.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, I'm Guy Raz, and on my show, Wisdom from the Top, I talk with CEOs and business leaders about the toughest challenges of their careers.
There's lots of ways to measure success.
Sometimes a company has to bet against itself.
We wanted to set ourselves apart by having a point of view.
Businesses really impact people's lives in pretty fundamental ways.
On Wisdom from the Top, some of the greatest business leaders of our time share their intimate stories of leadership, innovation, and transformation. Stories you won't hear anywhere else. Check out Wisdom from the Top only on Luminary. Now, back to your show.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.